Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios Brisbane on 102.1 FM and broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
You're listening to Zed Games. With 10 years experience and over 500 episodes, Zed Games brings you the best in gaming news, reviews, community and culture. Want to reach out? Message us on Facebook at ZEDGamesAU.
My name is Evie and I'm here with...
William. Woo!
Yep, that's it.
We don't have any more today. Oh, it's so lonely in here. Like, we're used to at least three people, but now it's just us two.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a special moment, Will. You know why?
Why?
Because it's your birthday tomorrow.
I mean, is it special today or is it special tomorrow?
Well, you know, today I don't have a show tomorrow, so you know, I have to announce it today.
Today this is our celebration radio.
Yeah, all about Will, really.
Actually, no, Ronnie's birthday is also tomorrow.
Is it really?
It is.
Oh my goodness.
We share a birthday.
Ronnie,
so.
I'm sorry if you're listening. I completely forgot about you.
But Will didn't. Happy birthday to both of us.
Yeah. Woo. Aww. And you're 21, yeah?
21, the big 21.
Yeah, the big 21.
Now I can
to drive and every country.
Legal to drink in every country.
Well, and I mean, I think the States is the only one that you can really...
Well, I mean, that's the only one that's 21. But also, it's the blackjack number, so maybe I get extra luck this year.
That's true.
I get extra luck playing blackjack, which is one of my favorite games.
I'm glad I gave you your 21st birthday present for Christmas in advance.
Yeah, you gotta get it out early, so you don't have to worry about
it. Yeah, that's right. I've well and truly pre-planned your birthday present. Anyway, today we're going to be doing some news.
Yeah, some interesting news.
Some of the latest news.
Yeah.
The big thing is we're going to have a big discussion, Will and I. We're going to be talking about the sexualization of women in video games. So be prepared for that one.
It's going to be a heavy subject, but even though I wish we had more people here to represent, I think it will get us a nice and intimate discussion about this, and I think we really need to have one. So
yeah, an intimate discussion about something that directly affects everyone, really. So I'm pretty keen to chat away about that. Anyway, why don't we listen to some news?
Let's head into it.
Let's do it.
This week in gaming news, Amro El Ansari, a RuneScape streamer, sued developer Jagex after the company muted him in-game last year. In a lengthy lawsuit, El Ansari said he'd spent over 2,000 hours in the game and claimed that Jagex muting him violated his free speech and human rights. U.S. Eastern District Judge Mark Kearney dismissed the case, saying that these allegations cannot state a plausible constitutional claim. The First Amendment and its constitutional free speech guarantees restrict government actors, not private entities. As it turns out, being muted in a video game doesn't violate your civil rights in the US. The Eastern District Court has had 10 suits filed by El Ansari in the last 18 months. One of those suits claims that he was scammed by Tinder. There is now talk about investigating what goes on in online platforms and the many governments they form. Where is the line drawn when it comes to free speech in a virtual space for game players? Atari-themed hotels are coming to US cities. After Atari's downfall in the 80s, they now hope to reinvigorate their company by entering the hospitality industry. Atari signed a contract that gives a license of its name and branding to a real estate developer, which will build 8 hotels across the US, firstly opening in Phoenix later in the year. Other cities to be graced with the new hotels are Austin, Chicago, Denver, Las Vegas, San Francisco, San Jose, and Seattle. The hotels will feature esports studios. There is currently little information about the details, however, they will also have Atari gaming playgrounds, which may contain lounges for pro players. The hotels are said to contain regular hotel facilities such as pools, gyms, restaurants, bars, bakeries, and movie theaters. Atari has received a $600,000 advance for licensing the brand. Hopefully, the hotels are a success so more hotels can be built in the long run. Twitch and Mixer streaming wars are spending the big bucks. A new report reveals the details of how much Twitch and Mixer are willing to spend to secure the world's top video game streamers. Twitch, which is owned by Amazon, and Mixer, backed by Microsoft, are fighting for the top spot as the dominant streaming site. Last year, Ninja, also known as Tyler Blevins, left Twitch for Mixer, leaving behind 14 million followers, which equates to over $44 million Australian dollars. Soon after that, Shroud was bought out of Twitch for the Mixer service, with his site having the value of 19 million Australian dollars. Twitch has over 15 million daily users with an estimated worth of a little under 6 billion Australian dollars. Video game content generated close to $10 billion in revenue in 2019. Let's see what the streaming wars generate throughout 2020. That's all this week in gaming news.
Interesting. There's a lot happening.
There is. I don't know which one I want to start with talking about.
Let's go in the chronological order. Let's talk about this lawsuit, because I have two feelings about the situation.
Tell us about it.
The first feeling is this Amro El Ansari, I think is a bit maybe sensitive about things, and to go so far to take a lawsuit out against a company because you were muted seems and then to also have like 8-10 other suits filed, one of them being that he felt like he was scammed by Tinder. Quite I think that's like, hasn't everyone had a bad date on Tinder? Like, come on, mate. So like, there's some things about his character that I question, but it does open up some questions about what sort of policing or government enforcement or what's sort of involved with free speech in a virtual space. What does this actually mean? Is it completely outrageous for this guy to to sue, or is it not? Like, I get a bit like, oh, I don't even know how to go about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I want to go from like being the devil's advocate a little bit, because if he's basically running a company, right? He's a streamer, so by them muting him, they are kind of taking away his livelihood, to a sense. And I can see how that is. Yeah, like, you would try to file a lawsuit for that, or try to fight it, but then again, you don't have any constitutional rights. Like, you don't.
Yeah.
In a video game, that's kind of like you're going into somebody else's house.
Like an international waters, so to speak.
Exactly.
Or something. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's kind of like it's not. It's a privatized area. Like, you're going into somebody's house. They decide who gets to go on in there. But then we have to have the question as, does big companies have a constitutional right to allow free speech within their areas, so to say?
Yeah. It's tricky because there are enforcement agencies that look at, you know, maybe far-right propaganda and extremism and stuff like that on the internet.
Yeah.
And, you know, those servers exist somewhere for people to say what they want on those platforms, and they're policed.
Yeah.
But to what extent are they policed in places like RuneScape? You know,
exactly,
so
yeah.
It's kind of... And also, it doesn't actually share much about why El Ansari was actually muted.
That is the
so
big thing.
That's my question, is what was he actually saying? Why would the company Jagex take such a leap of going, you know what, even though this guy's got over 2,000 hours playing RuneScape, he's a popular streamer, he's done blah, therefore goodbye, you know?
Yeah.
So there's no real context on what happened there. And for him to say, you know, it's violated my free speech and human rights, what has he said? So if anyone knows, feel free to message us on Facebook at ZEDGamesAU, because I actually couldn't find anything.
Oh, well, I would like to see that as well. I mean, going for it as well, no game developer wants to ban somebody who is, or mute somebody who is advertising their game or enjoying
it.
Yeah, like, so he must have probably done something pretty bad. And usually when it comes to mutes in games, it has with some sort of harassment, racism, sexism, or something like that to do.
Yeah, and something extreme as well.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. Atari. Hotels.
Yeah. I mean, all I can say is for that, hell, I mean, yes, please, give it to
hell
us.
Hell yeah.
we do... I like anything game franchise, all right? I will live in an Atari hotel if I could. That sounds amazing. Give it to me now, please.
Yeah, well, when I first was sort of reading up about it, it's like, oh, you know, they've just sold out pretty much for the hospitality industry, and some real estate guy's like, oh, I'll take the name and I'll do something with it. But it's cool to see that there's going to be, like, gaming playgrounds or whatever and lounges, and there's going to be, like, facilities for esports players or events, and That's awesome to think that there's going to be a hotel chain that is Atari.
Yeah.
You know, the very original game masters, you know, creating like little mini homes all over the states for people
nice.
To do that. So yeah, I'm super excited. Hopefully they get enough money and the attraction goes really well that they can come over the ocean.
They can expand, yeah. I mean, I can say, like, for me moving it to Australia has a lot of these kind of, like, restaurants with themed, like, Street Fighters and that kind of stuff. And for the nerd in my heart, I just get happy when I see that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, it's a little geek culture that's going on. And maybe this is, like, a little bit too much because you get kind of like, oh, it's normalizing. But at the same time, this gives opportunity for kids that maybe didn't grow up with Atari to get to know those characters that we grew up with and that we love so much.
You grew up with Atari, Will?
No, but I'm saying it more as...
You're 21 tomorrow. Come on.
I'm so old. My hips are almost broken.
You grew up with PS2, no?
Yeah. Technically PS1.
Okay.
Doom 1.
Just didn't have the dexterity to play PS1 quite yet.
No, I was like 4, so I could play the original Doom. But okay. It was more my dad played it.
Can anyone play the original Doom?
No. Nobody can play the original Doom. You have to do a satanic ritual first.
Yeah, well, this Atari thing with the hotels is fantastic because my partner always says to me, it's like, oh, I'd love to go on a holiday and go in a hotel somewhere. And I'm just like, yes. When she says, let's get away to go on a holiday in a hotel somewhere to get me away from playing video games, just book Atari Hotel.
He's going
to
juke her a little bit, like, whoop, oh, Atari Hotel.
Oh, the problem is she played Atari growing up, so I think I couldn't just say, oh, it's Atari Hotel, and she'd be like, oh, is that like the game? No, completely unrelated.
You know what, I would really like to see an Habbo Hotel. In real life. Yes, with the meme of it.
Or Club Penguin.
Or Club Penguin, yeah. Yes, an iceberg. We have that. We can get that in Sweden. We'll fix that.
We'll work on this. We'll work figure something this. Out. So, Twitch and Mixer.
Twitch and Mixer. I mean, it's kind of the whole Steam Epic Games debacle, fighting over a market that is pretty much held by one. Like, Twitch owns it to a degree.
They would have had to pay so many millions of dollars to get Ninja and Shroud.
Yes.
Like, oh.
I mean, we're talking about somebody, if we take Shroud as an example there, like how much, 19 million. That's what his site is worth.
Yeah.
And that is not that's not like a value that is just like one time off. That is something he will be making over a period of time. Like, it's money that will be growing.
They would have paid him for what it was worth.
Yeah.
If not some more.
Like, I'm pretty sure they must have some like a deal going forward, like a contract over several years that secures him and makes it easier for him to build his network.
Oh, there
again.
Would have been a lot of benefits, and there's a lot of benefits for him being on Mixer. I mean, when I was watching him on Twitch, because now I just follow him on YouTube predominantly, but on Twitch, I remember it was anywhere between 10,000 and 100,000 people watching at any given time. And that's an amazing amount of people. Like, I can't even... That's a stadium.
Yeah.
That's like stadiums
that's
full
like,
of people watching him every single day.
Yeah.
Anytime he streams. And that's to put it into context, because I know a lot of people go, oh, why would you watch people play video games?
Yeah.
And it seems like such an abstract concept, but when you put it into the sense of like, that's two stadiums worth of people watching. This is real money, and this is real people watching and engaging with him. And I'm not surprised that Microsoft with Mixer have decided to go, you're worth this much because we know how much you can make for me. So
yes.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, in all, I think it's a good thing. It's never a good thing to have just one platform be the dominant one, because Twitch has had a lot of
healthy competition.
Yeah, Twitch has had a lot of controversy, how they've been treating their streamers and giving favoritism to some because they make a lot of money, and then being harsher on other ones, and stuff like that is things they can get away with because they're not scared of losing their viewers.
Yeah,
because the viewers can't really pay with their wallet, so to say. But when you add in more platforms to that, now all of a sudden Twitch needs to make sure that the streamers don't want to stay on Twitch, because if the streamers move, that is direct revenue moving away from them.
Twitch is like, I'll give you money to stay, please don't go.
Exactly. so this is just, I see this as a purely a good thing, to be honest.
I'm excited to see what happens throughout the rest of this year, because this war is definitely not over, and I'm excited.
I was gonna make a the winter is coming joke, but I can't. Oh, Mixer is coming.
Look, no. You'll have to think on it.
I'll practice next time. I'll get it next time.
So, Will, we're going to talk about some fun stuff now.
I mean, fun, it's important stuff.
Yeah, really fun.
Yes.
Heavy.
Heavy stuff. I mean, it's a discussion that needs to be had, and I think that we should talk about it. And do you want me to take away the subject?
Well, take away the subject.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
I get the gist of what you're saying. I just want to give a shout out to Millie, who actually suggested that we discuss this on the show. However, was unable to come in tonight, unfortunately. But yeah, we're going to be talking about the sexualization of women in video games and some of that gender representation that's out there. It's tricky because the thing is, as much as I love playing video games, there's this other side from a female bodied perspective where it is extremely, it's just a huge misrepresentation. It, perpetuates, the patriarchy. It perpetuates a culture that women are objectified, women sexualized, or created or set out to be as villains. You know, like they're, yeah. You know, language warning, they're set out to be, you know, bitches or whatever. And men are also portrayed as violent and stereotyping men as well in a different way, that they're strong, they're arrogant, and they have a tendency for aggression. So there's a lot of this black and white spectrum on the representation of gender, and specifically women. I mean, there's a lot of depictions of quite young girls who get sexualized in video games. I think Millie wanted to talk about some of that with The Witcher 3. There's also Grand Theft Auto, which is a game that I've never played and actively not played purely because I just think it's grotesque for a number of reasons. One of the biggest reasons is the sexism. It's just outrageous, I think, that the portrayal of men as these aggressors and women as just tools to play with within the game is quite obscene, really.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it, Will? How do you feel about this?
The thing, like, talking from also the male side of these things, it's not as problematic because I don't see it from the emotional way you see it, but I can still understand how you feel misrepresented and how things like this, I mean, it's not fun to see. Like, just as much as I want to be represented in games, I understand that you also want to be represented in games. And the real tricky question comes in, how much can we decide on art, basically? And I think
I think
Grand Theft Auto is a perfect example of a game that is very gray in its sense of how sexist it is, because you don't get the option to play as a... Are we talking about the whole game, multiplayer and single player, or are we talking about the single player story?
The single player story, mainly. That's the one that where you're a male character.
Yeah, because then you're kind of going from... And it's kind of same with Witcher 3 and all that. Those games go out and they play on stereotypes a lot. And they also don't necessarily try to depict truth, or so, like reality.
Mm.
And then you kind of have to question, well, should they do that? Like, because to my knowledge, there's not any real sexism in the game where they're saying females are weak or anything like that.
But they're implying it.
In
certain situations. I mean, if you think about how many games there are where the lead character is a white, straight male.
Yeah.
Versus in comparison to any other type of ethnic person or religion or gender or what have you.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a disparity.
It is. It's no, huge. Yes. And it's one of those disparities where I'm like, it's bad. It is bad. But it's not... It is not because the game industry is not doing it because we want to be sexist. What they're doing is, going from this, because you linked to an article where they talked about, a majority of gamers today are actually female. About 50% are female, but we still only have about 4% of games with only a female as the main protagonist. And that is not because game devs try to be sexist, but game devs are catering to the general gamer audience.
Mm.
which most of the females playing are usually moms playing Candy Crush that drives up the statistics. And then the people who play like more serious games are tend to be men. But then we have a huge group.
The more serious games?
That's a bit... Yeah, okay, yeah, no.
I'm sensing some unconscious bias over here, Will.
Yes, no, no. Well, I mean, yeah, no, no, that was, I'll take that back. I mean more playing games on a regular basis that are more deeper than Candy Crush. Like bigger games, you could say.
Okay, and, all right.
And there...
Thin ice, buddy. No,
yes, the statistics there are more closer to maybe 60-40%, where there's still a huge group of people which are female that are not being represented as they should. And to me, that is game developers missing out on a big market rather than them trying to be sexist.
I think for us to get a better understanding of why women are poorly represented in video games is you've got to look at the demographics of the people making them.
Yes.
So as much as I truly don't believe that every developer out there, male, female, or otherwise, is actively trying to portray women as a sexual object, as dumb or useless or whatever these things are, I don't think they're trying to do that. I think the problem is that unconsciously they're making that happen through what they create. So if you look at the statistics in programmers, how many women there actually are in programming is shocking. You look at the statistics of just how many women there are in the games industry making games, it's something like 80% male.
Yeah.
You know, it's absolutely shocking. And then you go into the ethnic side of that, you know, whether there's the correct representation for any other type of ethnicity. It's the same sort of deal.
Yeah.
It's overwhelmingly male, and it's overwhelmingly disproportionate, because when they actually produce content, what I play is something that isn't a representative of the general population. And the population is 51% female and 49% male. So if I'm going to be playing a game where my 51 stake in that is, you're a sexual object or you're weak and you're not a valid character, therefore, why would women want to play games?
Yeah.
There's other reasons that they play games, of course.
Yes.
But also, statistically, how many women actually play games is quite hard to gauge, given that a lot of women don't like to be vocal in voice chat or team games because they're, again, subjected to sexism and discrimination from other players, most likely to be men.
Yes.
And that's a generalization, but...
But it's true.
It's true.
It's one of those things where you have to generalize, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't take that on a case-to-case basis. You have to take it on how are people being treated in the whole. And I think what you're saying is very true. And I think that's one of the things we're fighting for in the game dev industry, to get more females into, and also people of different ethnicities, because everybody wins on equality.
It's not just about having them in there. It's that's the thing. It's like, people want us to have more women and more, I don't know, black people in games, for example, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, we don't want you to have them there if you don't want to put them there. The point is that we want you to put them there with purpose and with integrity and with intention. So, you know, some situations have gone wrong where there's a portrayal of a black person and there's been no person of that ethnicity involved with the development of that character, can therefore lead to really bad misrepresentation of those characters. Idea is that if we're going to have substantial change in terms of having representation of women changed and ethnically diverse and inclusive of LGBTIQ plus community, we need those people making them.
Yes.
We need those people hired, because it's not about hiring the right person for the job. It's about hiring the person that's suitable for the job.
I like that.
You know,
yes.
We've got to be looking at, okay, yeah, sure, our studio is 80% male, and I've now interviewed I'm down to the last two people to interview. I've got a male and a female employee that I can potentially hire. Who is the most suitable person for the job? Not the right person for the job. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone who can suit our environment and who's going to be able to increase and develop our culture so we can produce better games. That's what we need to be looking at. And those games having, you know, the hands on those games needs to be many different types of hands. If you want to be inclusive, you want to create change in the world, you've got to do that. I mean, one of my lecturers said to me when I was studying game design, you cannot be what you cannot see.
Yeah.
You know, I can't be a superhero unless I see that I can be a superhero.
Yeah.
You know, Wonder Woman, for example. But even then, we look at Wonder Woman and I'm going, needs to probably tie her hair up, because I don't know how any woman ever in any scene, whether it's film or otherwise, ever fights without their hair tied up. It's just illogical. Or with high heels. I mean, this is the thing. It's like, who's actually designing these characters?
Yeah, exactly.
And a woman wouldn't do that.
Yeah, no. I mean, while I think there is a place and time for sexualized characters to still, like, take Wonder Woman, for example, having Wonder Woman be a sexualized character but also be a role model, there's a place and time for that.
Yes,
but
of course.
But I think we're also looking at a time where we want more realistic representation. Like you're saying, we want females to not just be the sexualized objects. We want if you're going to go away from the stereotype a little bit, The Witcher, we want that, but the female there instead.
Yeah, of course.
Like Ciri in Witcher 3, like that kind of character that is not over-sexualized, but is still a strong, badass person who everybody wants to follow, both women, men, and everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, on a positive note, there are, like you said, a lot of good representation coming out of the games industry. I mean, I look at Overwatch, for example, by Blizzard.
Yeah.
And I look at the diversity that they have with all their characters. They not just only diversify the gender, they also diversify on the LGBTIQ plus spectrum, and inclusive of religious backgrounds, ethnicities, everything. And that warms my heart, because kids growing up playing that can be what they see. They can actually be what they say.
Yeah, and it's about...
And that's what we need to be striving for. And it's kudos to Apex as well for having non-binary characters and predominantly strong female characters with interesting and deep narratives. Yeah. You know, they're not just like women for the sake of women. They're all interesting. They're complex.
And that's what you're saying there, is making the characters with a meaning. You don't just want to put a woman in there to have a woman in there. You want to put them in with a meaning,
with
a purpose.
With intention, yeah.
And make it... Give it a little filling.
Give it some filling.
Fill it up with interesting things for people to read, and like make the character deep. Spend some time on it, and don't be afraid to test out new things.
Definitely don't.
No.
Anyway, it's come to the end of our time here at Zed Games.
It's gone so quick.
Yeah, I know. It has gone really quick today.
I could talk about this for another hour. You know, it's been a lot of fun.
But no one else can listen, unfortunately.
Sadly.
Well, on that note, we'll see you guys later.
See you later, guys. Bye.
Want to listen to more Zed Games? Check out our podcast on Spotify or follow us on
Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, which is at ZEDGamesAU, to get behind-the-scenes action,
sneak peeks into reviews, and, of course, lots of memes.